On October 12, 1492, three Spanish ships arrived in the New World, marking the beginning of the colonization of much of the continent we now call America. It was a time of wars and conquests. The earth was thought by most to be flat. Church and state were together in an unlawful union. It was a time when the Catholic religion ruled by the sword and by fire on the battleground of a cruel inquisition from which it was almost impossible to escape. A day before the three vessels sailed from Spain, a new law proclaimed by the Catholic Queen Isabel I of Castile and King Ferdinand II of Aragon went into effect, effectively banning all Jews from remaining in the Spanish kingdom. Those who did not comply would be killed and all their possessions confiscated. Historians claim that many Jews, attempting to escape the punishment of such an extreme decree, found refuge with those same vessels captained by Christopher Columbus that arrived in the New World on October the 12th, 1492. The New World would come to be dominated by the Spanish crown from the onset of the European conquest, and the so-called Holy Inquisition soon extended its tentacles into these new lands. Less than 80 years after the Spanish discovery of America, the Holy Office of the Inquisition was fully functioning throughout Latin America. Its main regional headquarters were established in Mexico City, in Cartagena, Colombia, and in Lima, Peru. From the very start of the colonization enterprise, the Catholic religion was often imposed by force throughout the conquered lands. The towering, luxurious, and mysterious Catholic churches dominated the central squares of every city, town, port, and village in the New World. To this day, it is not uncommon to find up to three or four Catholic churches in the central square of many towns. Today, what can be called Spanish America encompasses a region that includes Mexico, Guatemala, Cuba, Puerto Rico, Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Panama, Colombia, Venezuela, Dominican Republic, Ecuador, Peru, Bolivia, Paraguay, Uruguay, Chile, and Argentina. With a combined population of more than 418 million people, 92% of whom, until the year 1970, claimed to be Catholic. By the year 2018, with the rise of evangelical churches, the percentage of Catholics in the region has gone down to 59%. In this vast region of the earth, God has commissioned a little flock to be lights in a world plagued by religious confusion. This is the story of that little flock, the modest and powerful lighthouses that shine in the hot desert of La Paz, Mexico, and create a stark contrast to the imposing pyramids of Teotihuacan, vestiges of a dark past that persists behind the veil of a false religion. That little flock of brethren dwells amidst fire and water volcanoes in Guatemala, by mighty riverbanks and lush rainforests in Colombia, and by the majestic Andes Mountains, home of the condor, and even down to Tierra del Fuego, which is called the end of the world, calling to mind God's commission: "You shall be witnesses to me to the end of the earth."
Welcome to the Feast of Tabernacles and the Behind the Work film for 2024. This year we're going to take an informative and fascinating look at the work of the Living Church of God in Latin America. We're going to meet members and visit congregations of God's people in various parts of Mexico, Central and South America, and beyond. We're going to learn about the history of this vast region and the challenges faced by God's people and the challenges of preaching the gospel in various countries in this part of the world. Our host for the Whirlwind Tour will be evangelist and regional director Mario Hernandez, who has guided the development of the work of the Living Church of God in the Latin world for several decades. We're certainly thankful for the work that Don Mario and his dedicated and capable assistants are doing. Let me introduce you to our leaders and their wives who are actually doing the work in Latin America. Now that you've met our leaders and their wives, hold on to your seats and enjoy this behind-the-work film as we begin our panoramic tour of God's work in Latin America.
Our journey begins in Mexico, the land of the Aztecs. Mexico is a Nahuatl word meaning the navel or center of the moon and is one of the three countries that form North America. It is the 14th largest in the world in land mass and ranks 10th in population with approximately 131 million people. The Church of God in Mexico dates back to the Sardis era with the ministry of Mr. Ezequias Campos, who was ordained in the Church of God Seventh Day on November 4, 1933 in Salem, West Virginia, in the United States, and was one of the 70, along with Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong, charged with taking the gospel to the world. Later, through advertisements placed in the Reader's Digest offering a free subscription to La Pura Verdad, the Spanish version of the Plain Truth magazine, seeds were sown that would grow into the first worldwide Church of God congregations in 1968 in Mexico and other countries in Spanish America. After the apostasy of the worldwide Church of God, the Global Church of God held its first Feast of Tabernacles in Mexico in 1996. The members continued afterwards with the Living Church of God.
My first Feast of Tabernacles was in 1958. This year, I am celebrating my 66th feast. What I like most is knowing that I am walking towards the kingdom of God, keeping the feasts, because the feasts are the path forward to reach the kingdom that Jesus Christ has promised us. From the Federal District of Mexico, I encourage you and send you a loving greeting so that we may fight and be worthy of helping the Lord Jesus to establish His kingdom and to be worthy collaborators of Him.
Mexico is noted for its many valleys, mountains, deserts, beaches, and archaeological sites, which attract millions of tourists every year, and also for its northern border with the United States. And precisely there, at the northwestern border of Mexico, in the city of Tijuana, we find our northernmost congregation in Iberoamerica. Being a border town, Tijuana is not a peaceful city. Insecurity, violence, and poverty are evident in its streets and are reflected on the tired and sad faces of pilgrims from all over the world who hope to end their odyssey in the land of opportunity to the north. The Tijuana congregation is made up of 9 members who take turns hosting services in their homes. Mrs. Ofelia Garcia and Mrs. Lumi Vargas are the longest time members of this small congregation, having persevered for more than 34 years with strength and courage against the passage of time, isolation, and the enemy's attacks. They are 2 solitary lighthouses that, instead of losing their light, have shone more intensely in the darkness of the night. Beginning in the year 2020, Jesus Christ began bringing more sheep to this fold, and today, the 2 solitary lighthouses enjoy the company of several new brethren who walk firmly with them towards our goal. From Tijuana, we travel south through the Baja California Peninsula in an 18-hour journey to visit our second congregation in Mexico, La Paz. La Paz is a peaceful desert town surrounded by the beautiful Sea of Cortez, crystal clear waters, magnificent beaches, and abundant sea life make La Paz a lovely and tranquil place to rest. The congregation of La Paz is made up of 16 brethren, the longest time member being Mrs. Socorro Paura, who is now keeping her 39th feast.
I came to the church in 1984. I learned about the church through the Selections magazine. This will be my 39th feast. In 1986, I took all my children, 8 children, to the feast. We took the ferry here in La Paz and arrived in Mazatlan. It takes 16 hours to get to Mazatlan. From there, we took the bus to Mexico City, another 9 hours. And from Mexico City to Acapulco, another 8 or 9 hours. I do a variety of things. Sewing, painting, and crafts. I have liked painting since I was a child. I went and enrolled myself in a painting school. Later I got married, had a lot of children, and stopped painting for many years, and then I started again. I painted this, which is my mother, in 2013. Sewing helped me to support my children and mainly to attend the holy days. Because my husband, since he was not in the church, did not like to contribute money for the feast. So I always collected it from my jobs. Lily was the last of my grandchildren to be baptized. She was just baptized today, and of course, I was very happy because I never imagined I would see my grandchildren in the church.
Mrs. Paura's perseverance has borne much fruit, and today, 3 of her daughters and 2 of her grandsons are baptized members of God's church. On our journey to the interior of the country, we find the congregation of Monterrey, a prosperous industrial city. The congregation is made up of 11 members who have been part of the Church of God since 1995. 4 hours south by land, we find the congregation of San Luis Potosí with 19 members. An additional 2 hours farther south, we find the 14 members of the congregation of Querétaro. Finally, we arrive at the Mexico City congregation, which is our largest, serving members that live within the city limits and throughout the metropolitan area that extends into the adjoining state, the Estado de México. With a population of 22 million, Mexico City is the sixth largest city in the world. A distinctive cultural feature found in Mexico City and the entire country is the cult of death, known as La Santa Muerte, or the Holy Death, and the flowery and colorful Katrinas, or skeleton dames, which portray a fantastical concept of death as though it were a state of happiness and blessings. The Day of the Dead, celebrated on November 1st and 2nd, is one of the most popular holidays in Mexico. During this festival, it is common to see thousands of people visiting cemeteries throughout the country, placing food and other offerings on the tombs of dead relatives. At a small hotel in downtown Mexico City, just 1 hour away from the famous pyramids of the sun and the moon, more than 100 brethren heed God's calling to attend the weekly holy convocation. Living in such a populated city presents many challenges to our brethren. With more than 4 million vehicles circulating on its streets every day, and with protests and marches that seem like a weekly occurrence in the city, it can take some members up to 3 hours to arrive at the meeting hall from their homes. In addition to the members in the congregations that have been mentioned, there are more than 27 brethren scattered throughout the country for whom the Feast of Tabernacles is a golden opportunity to fellowship and strengthen the ties of brotherhood. The feast is an opportunity for God's people to receive spiritual nourishment through sermons and sermonettes, to enjoy instrumental and choral special music, and to share edifying and rewarding life experiences together. Most of the brethren participate in our children's activity. It begins with a brief Bible study presented by a minister that expounds on the theme of the children's coloring book. In 2023, the theme was God made them male and female. After the study, the children do crafts and play games related to the Bible study topic, and then refreshments are served. Finally, the children receive gifts donated by the members. During the children's activity, the teens and young adults have a separate activity to strengthen their ties of brotherhood and share experiences with one another. Another feast activity is our nature excursion, an afternoon of fellowshipping in which we share a meal, play sports, and have fun in the pool. We also take advantage of the opportunity to baptize any new brethren who have been counseled and are ready. Last year, we welcomed 6 new brethren to the body of Christ. The church also organizes youth camps, spokesman clubs, and leadership training programs in Mexico. Mexico borders Guatemala to the south. Guatemala is a small country of 67,000 square miles that has approximately 288 volcanoes and other formations categorized as volcanic. Even though only 4 volcanoes are considered active, the lives of Guatemalans are continually affected by their volcanic activity. The country's old capital, Antigua, was devastated by the Volcán de Agua in 1541, when an astonishing torrent of water descended from the mountain, dragging with it rocks that leveled most of the city's buildings. Hence, the name Volcán de Agua. Today, Antigua is a World Heritage Site. Its Baroque colonial era architecture constitutes a tourist attraction. The church has celebrated the feast in this city numerous times. More recently, in June 2018, the eruption of the Volcán de Fuego, located at mere 12 miles from the Volcán de Agua, killed more than 300 people, according to official numbers. However, locals claim that 3 villages were destroyed and more than 6,000 perished. 56 miles north of the Volcán de Fuego, we find the beautiful lake of Atitlán, surrounded by 3 impressive volcanic mountains, Atitlán, Tolima, and San Pedro. And precisely there, at the foothills of the Volcán San Pedro, we continue our journey to welcome the youngest member of the church in Guatemala. Marjorie Giuliani was born on December 1st, 2023. She is the daughter of Carla Perez and granddaughter of Etelvina Ralda, who for many years was the only light that God used to give a testimony in this region. Doña Etelvina died in March 2023, but her example in the community is still remembered. Mrs. Etelvina Ralda arrived in the small town of Santa Cruz, La Laguna in 1979 to work as a nursing assistant at the town's health center. She served one village and 4 settlements. At the time, there were no roads or boats in the region that could be used to travel to the inner villages or settlements. So, Doña Etelvina had to walk up to 2 hours each way and at times travel by the traditional cayucos, small artisan ships made of palm or the ceiba wood. In addition to the Spanish language, 22 Mayan languages are spoken in Guatemala. For this reason, Mrs. Etelvina was determined to learn the Cachiquel language. And although she didn't speak it fluently, she learned the basics which allowed her to better serve the people in her area. Etelvina's dedication, love, and attitude of service were so remarkable that in 1995 she was recognized by the Guatemalan Health Ministry for her outstanding service to the community. On the occasion of the funeral service of Etelvina on March 21st, 2023, the entire municipality of Santa Cruz, La Laguna closed down to honor her life of service to the community. More than 500 people, including government officials, students, and other members of the community, attended the graveyard service at the main municipality's memorial park. Many eulogies were given to the town's nurse, as she was known. Outgoing concern, joy, and service were the shining example and light that this faithful servant of Christ gave to all who knew her. God's Church in Guatemala currently comprises 52 members who meet in small local groups. Every 6 weeks and on the feast days, all the brethren meet in one location to share and strengthen their spiritual bonds. Besides Guatemala, other Central American nations are Belize, Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, and Panama. In these countries, we have congregations in Honduras with 19 members, El Salvador with 29 members, Costa Rica with 26, and Panama with 5 members. A wave of leftist governments has been a common denominator in Central and South America during the last 20 years. Marxist leaders with slogans such as social justice, equality, anti-imperialism, wealth redistribution, cunningly aggravate the suffering, violence, and discontent of millions of people who desperately yearn for a glimmer of hope. Their speeches work on the population, But once these leaders reach power, persecution of free press and private enterprise, extreme bureaucratization, impunity, and even religious persecution are some of the grievances added to a long list of unsolved evils. One of the challenges that God's church faces in Central America and in all Latin America in general is the inefficiency of the postal services, excessive red tape, corruption, and high customs duties hinder our publications from reaching our subscribers in an efficient manner. But God's church, in its commitment to carrying out the commission given by Jesus Christ to take the gospel to the whole world, has developed a new Spanish website that was launched in January 2024. This new website showcases the church's publications like the Tomorrow's World magazine, the Bible study course, and news and prophecy items in short video format. The site was primarily designed for mobile phone use. Members and subscribers can navigate all our content in a fast-flowing and intuitive manner, presented with striking graphics, but with the same transcendent and vital message of the good news to the whole world. Of course, we will continue to send the printed magazine to any place where members and subscribers can receive it. After crossing the Panama Canal and the Darien Gap, one of the densest virgin rainforests in the world, we arrive in Colombia, the first country of South America. Colombia is named in honor of Christopher Columbus. It has a population of 51 million and a landmass of over 700,000 square miles. Its special geographic features allow it to grow some of the smoothest and most aromatic coffee beans in the world, which many of you have probably tasted. In this tropical country, the little flock grew out of the proclamation of the gospel via the Plain Truth magazine beginning in 1968. By the year 1990, approximately 430 Colombian brethren and guests in the Worldwide Church of God celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles. Colombia's recent history has been marked by internal armed conflicts, rebel groups with communist ideologies, financed with resources obtained from the growth of illicit crops, have stained the country's history with terrorism and bloodshed. Colombia paints a stark contrast with its millennial landscapes and thriving cities cast against towns gripped by poverty and violence. Just 25 years ago, it was risky for many church members to travel by road to the Feast of Tabernacles, since they had to go through dangerous areas where insurgent groups would sometimes place illegal checkpoints to kidnap people or set vehicles on fire. However, God has always protected his little flock from such violent acts. In recent years, the situation has improved significantly, with Colombia enjoying increased security, economic progress, and stability. However, the future is uncertain, as younger generations have no memory of the past, and socialist-communist ideologies seem to be once again conquering the hopeful and naive hearts of the youth. The Living Church of God has approximately 145 members and 7 congregations in Colombia, located in Barranquilla, Medellin, Bogota, Manizales, Pereira, Sevilla, and Cali.
I learned the truth 41 years ago. I found the magazine in a trash can. I was working as a janitor, and the magazine caught my attention because of its content. It was spectacular because I had not seen any of these things. It caught my attention, and since then, I have followed the truth, and I am here in the church waiting to reach the goal. I then ordered a subscription to the magazine, but do you know what my mother did? She burned my magazines. She said I was crazy. The Plain Madness magazine. The pure craziness arrived for you. You guys are completely crazy.
From Colombia, we move on to the neighboring country of Venezuela. As the story goes, in 1499, Spanish explorer Alonso de Ojeda, accompanied by Italian explorer Amerigo Vespucci, arrived in the Gulf of Venezuela. The stilt houses rising out of the water on the shores of Lake Maracaibo reminded them of Venice, and they named its new land Little Venice or Venezuela, a term which later became Hispanicized as Venezuela, as the country is known today. Venezuela has the largest crude oil reserves in the world, beyond those of Saudi Arabia, in addition to great mineral wealth in gold, iron, copper, and cobalt, among other metals. But despite its great mineral riches, the country suffers from shortages of food, medicine, and basic commodities due to the socialist regime that has ruled it for the last 20 years. Venezuela's inflation rate in 2023 was 360%. Even in this difficult situation, the light of God's little flock keeps on shining in Venezuela. Currently, there are 5 baptized members and 11 prospective members in the country, 3 of whom are counseling for baptism. God protects them all and provides them with food and the essentials for survival. For these faithful and courageous brethren, keeping the Feast of Tabernacles can be a challenge. The high cost of living doesn't allow them to rent rooms at a hotel, and they must therefore rent houses near their homes to keep the feast in temporary dwellings. In addition to preaching the gospel via the internet, the Living Church of God has been proclaiming the good news of the coming kingdom without interruption for the last 10 years on a radio station in Caracas. A little farther to the south, we arrive in the country of Ecuador at the Earth's equator. Ecuador's name comes from the Latin word equator, which means equalizer, referring to the country's geographical location on the imaginary line that divides the northern and the southern hemispheres. It was here, in the Galapagos Islands of Ecuador, where Charles Darwin began to conceive his theory of evolution. The work done during the lifetime of Herbert W. Armstrong also reached Ecuador. But after the apostasy of the Worldwide Church of God in the 1990s, the members were scattered into different groups. For more than 10 years, the gospel was preached in Ecuador via the internet and on radio without anyone joining the Living Church of God. Then in 2022, as God promises, His word did not return to Him void. As 2 families heeded God's call, one in the capital of Quito and the other in Manta on the Pacific coast, both families celebrated their first Feast of Tabernacles in Colombia in 2023. The little flock in Ecuador has taken its calling very seriously, with a number of individuals preparing for baptism. From Ecuador, we move on to the 4th largest nation in Latin America, Peru. Its extensive territory is made up of coastlines, mountain ranges, and Amazonian rainforests. Its capital city, Lima, was one of the Inquisition's regional headquarters during the Spanish colonial era. In this incarnation, we find the fifth marvel of the world, Machu Picchu. To reach Machu Picchu, we must travel first to the city of Cusco, which was the administrative capital of the vast Inca Empire that encompassed from what is today southern Colombia all the way down to northern Chile and Bolivia. The Living Church of God has held the Feast of Tabernacles in Cusco several times. The first feast of the Living Church of God celebrated in Peru was in 2005 with 63 people in attendance. It was held in an indigenous reservation of the Ashaninkas tribe who dwell in the central Amazonian rainforest of Peru, near the city of Chanchamayo. We rented rustic cabins there without any kind of modern comforts for $1 a day per person. Today, the Living Church of God has 75 members throughout Peru, making it second only to Colombia as the country with the most members in South America. We have 22 brethren in Cerro de Pasco, which stands as the highest city in the world, situated at 14,400 feet above sea level. We also have 9 members in Molino and Panao, 12 members in Huaraz, 5 members in Piura, 3 members in Trujillo, and 24 members in Lima. Continuing our journey south of the Andes mountain range, we arrive in Bolivia, named after Simon Bolivar. One of the most stunning tourist attractions in Bolivia is the Uyuni Salt Flat, considered to be the largest and highest continuous salt desert in the world, spanning 4,085 square miles. We currently have 13 brethren, including children, in Bolivia. 4 members are in Cochabamba, 8 are in Santa Cruz de la Sierra, and a sole member in La Paz. The church in Bolivia is known for its strong sense of unity among its members. They overcome adversities together and help one another during difficult times, exemplifying a genuine Philadelphian spirit of brotherly love. The Feast of Tabernacles in 2023 had 17 people in attendance in Bolivia, including the visiting member Mr. Edgar Guerra from Colombia, who attended with his family, and another member from Medellin. Continuing our journey south on the American continent, we arrive in Paraguay. The church preached the gospel of the kingdom of God for more than 3 years in Paraguay without any new members being brought by God to the little flock, until 2023, when a family of 5 with roots in the worldwide Church of God decided to join the Living Church of God. This family lives in the capital city of Asunción, and we are thrilled to have them join us as part of the body of Christ. Heading south, we arrive in Chile, guarded on its eastern border by the magnificent Andes Mountains. It is the longest country in the world. Its coast on the Pacific Ocean stretches over 2,500 miles. Chile is a land of vineyards and is noted for its exquisite Carmenere grape variety. In 1867, a phylloxera plague attacked grapevines in Europe, and Carmenere was the most affected vine. Growers attempted to save the variety without success, which led many to believe it extinct. But these grapes survived in the central region of Chile, thanks to European oenologists who had transported it in the 1850s, right before the plague destroyed it in the old continent. Today, Carmenere is Chile's iconic wine variety. The first members of God's church in Chile came in the year 1948 when they celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles with the Israelitish Church of God, a branch of the Sardis era who kept the Feast of Tabernacles. Mrs. Silvia Iturria, whom we affectionately call Silvita, is our longest time member in Chile.
To date, I have celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles 74 times. The Worldwide Church of God began to operate here in Santiago, Chile, in 1968. My husband and I and my parents, who also began to understand, started to communicate with other brethren, and thus the church group started to form. Meanwhile, my husband constantly communicated with Dr. Charles Dorothy, who was the head of the Spanish department, just like Mr. Mario Hernandez is today. So they agreed to visit us. They visited us, Dr. Dorothy, with Don Pablo Gonzalez, who was the announcer of El Mundo de Mañana. They came to see us, and we spent a Friday night and a Saturday meeting with them. This is how we began to meet with the Church of God.
By 1968, subscribers to the Plain Truth magazine were celebrating their first Feast of Tabernacles in Mirasol with the Worldwide Church of God. On September 10th, 1973, Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong arrived in the city of Santiago to meet with President Salvador Allende, who had invited him for a meeting. Sadly, this meeting never took place, as the following day, on September 11, 1973, Chile's armed forces overthrew the president in a coup d'etat. On the same day, President Allende took his own life in the presidential residence, La Moneda Palace. It was a time of economic, political, and social upheaval in Chile. But the little flock continued to grow, and by the year 1994, just before the apostasy, the Worldwide Church of God had more than 300 members in the country. Today, 30 years later, the truth continues to be proclaimed and practiced by the members of the Living Church of God. The church in Chile has 46 members, 21 of whom attend the congregation in Santiago. Mr. and Mrs. Weston had the opportunity to meet with the brethren in Chile during their trip to South America in February this year. Mr. Weston was able to visit the local elder's home, give the sermon during the services on the Sabbath, talk with the youth, and share a meal at the conclusion of the Sabbath day.
But I would like to say it's been a wonderful delight to be here with all of you.
Y ha sido una delicia inmensa estar aquí con todos ustedes.
These are wonderful gifts.
Y estos regalos.
But the greatest gift is all of you.
El mayor regalo son ustedes.
The remaining 25 members are scattered throughout the country in Antofagasta, Temuco, Talcahuano, Puyehue, Punta Arenas, Molina, Osorno, and Viña del Mar. And in Viña del Mar, we find one of our newest members of the church here, Diego Villafaña, who has used the talents God has given him to contribute to the proclamation of the gospel by helping to create and edit the Spanish Viewpoint videos, Un Nuevo Enfoque, the artwork for the children's coloring books, and other similar projects. Diego witnessed God's power and mercy when on February the 2nd, ravaging wildfires that had destroyed more than 7,000 homes and killed 132 people stopped miraculously less than half a mile from his home. This video was taken from a neighbor's home. We thank God for having protected Diego's family and property, as well as his neighbors. From Chile, Mr. and Mrs. Weston traveled to Tierra del Fuego, Argentina. Amid these majestic lands of valleys, lakes, rivers, and snow-capped mountains, we find the southernmost congregation of the Living Church of God in the city of Rio Grande, Argentina. The Tomorrow's World program aired for more than 12 years on the 7 del Sur radio station, an outlet that God used to call more than 10 people who are now part of the church. During Mr. and Mrs. Weston's visit, in an ambiance of love and spiritual unity, we strengthened our brotherly bonds, sharing stories over a meal of Patagonian lamb, a famous regional specialty.
You've opened up your hearts and your help in every way toward us, and we appreciate that.
Han abierto sus corazones y su ayuda, y lo agradecemos muchísimo.
And I can assure you that I will be praying for this area from these days forward.
Y les asegura que va a estar orando por ustedes en esta región a partir de ahora.
But you've done two things for me.
Pero han hecho dos cosas por él.
Maybe three or four.
Tal vez tres o cuatro.
One is I really do want to pray that God will bless this area.
La una es que él ahora está muy decidido a orar para que Dios los bendiga aquí en esta zona.
Not just with numbers of people, but in spiritual growth.
No solo en número, sino en crecimiento espiritual.
The next thing is I would love to come back if I could work it out.
Y la otra es que quisiera mucho volver. Si lo logra hacer, quiere volver.
But I don't know if I can do that.
We'll no sabe si lo puede hacer.
Time will tell.
Con el tiempo se sabrá.
And the third thing or fourth, whatever it is.
Y lo tercero o cuarto.
Is I want to learn Spanish.
Quiere aprender Spanish.
But the bottom line is I've come to love your territory and you as much as I can in such a short period of time. And I thank you for all of your kindness and for just being here and obeying God in a world that is very different from outside this room.
Mr. and Mrs. Weston were also able to visit Tolhuin, a site on Fagniano Lake where we celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles in 2018 and 2021. Because of its natural beauty and peaceful environment, we are considering this site again for the feast in the future. From here, the Westerns traveled 124 miles south, a 6-hour journey by catamaran, crossing the Beagle Channel and coasting Port Williams, the southernmost city of the world, located on the very austral tip of the American continent. In this small city of less than 4,000 in population, located within Chilean territory, the gospel of the kingdom of God was preached through the Navarino radio station for 1 year. In this way, the Living Church of God is fulfilling the commission that Jesus Christ gave to his church. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Our journey ended in Buenos Aires, the beautiful capital of Argentina, with more than 17 million in population. Here, we were able to have Sabbath services with the brethren and share a meal. But God's work in Spanish extends much farther around the globe. We cannot fail to mention that God's church also bears fruit in Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, Spain, and Portugal. We are also beginning to see fruit being born in Brazil, thanks to the publication of booklets, The Living Church News, and the Tomorrow's World telecast on YouTube in the Portuguese language. Dear brethren, this has been a brief overview of the work that God the Father and Jesus Christ are doing in this part of the world. As Mr. Devarapartian said, we don't do the work. It is God who does it through us. That is why, wherever we go, in any part of the world, and meet the brethren, we always find the same spirit of brotherhood and love that make us all one body, the body of Jesus Christ. May all of you continue to have a wonderful Feast of Tabernacles, our foretaste of the wonderful world tomorrow.
The work in the Spanish-speaking world is a microcosm of the work elsewhere, with members scattered, few in number. Jesus referred to the church he is building as small compared to the churches of this world. When he said in Luke 12:32, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." He also declared in Matthew 5:13, "You are the salt of the earth." And while this metaphor involves the nature of salt as that which preserves and flavors, salt also is sprinkled and invisible on food. Yet we are to let our light shine so that people may see our good works. And as we saw earlier, that's exactly what Nurse Ralda did in her small village. Carol and I had the wonderful opportunity to travel to Central and South America this past year, visiting Colombia, Guatemala, Chile, and Argentina. I did not take Carol with me to El Salvador due to State Department warnings, which turned out to be overblown, but the two of us were able to visit Mexico City before the COVID lockdowns in early 2020. The sincere warmth and support of our brethren in the Spanish-speaking world is something you will not forget if you have the opportunity to travel to these parts of the world. One is struck by the fact that we have so few members, so few ministers to serve them, and such large distances they sometimes have to travel in heavy traffic to meet together. While visiting these countries, we travel by plane, car, and boat to meet up with our beloved members. Every stop was a highlight, and I don't have nearly enough time to tell you about all of them. However, one of the most unusual was our trip to Tierra del Fuego at the southern tip of Argentina, known as the End of the Earth. We landed in the spectacularly beautiful city of Ushuaia before driving 3 hours to Rio Grande, where we have about 20 members. We also took a boat trip from Ushuaia, which passed by Port Williams, which Chile claims to be the southernmost city on earth. The Apostle Paul spoke of the words of God going to the ends of the world in Romans 10:18. And this was literally fulfilled in Port Williams for a year by way of Radio Navarino. Whether in Santiago, Buenos Aires, Mexico City, Medellin, El Salvador, Rio Grande, or Guatemala, we found our members to be dedicated and enthusiastic about the truth. They observe the seventh-day Sabbath, keep the same feasts and holy days, and believe the same doctrines proclaimed by the Living Church of God around the world. Our Spanish-speaking members are warm and affectionate, and if you visit them, be prepared for lots of hugs and kisses from both women and men. I would be remiss not to mention my sincere appreciation for those men and women who serve in the Spanish-speaking regions. We met some of them here in this video, but there are others who quietly serve with dedication and zeal. May God reward them richly according to their works. Brethren, we are not among the popular churches of this world, and never will be until Christ returns. This is clearly seen when contrasting our small groups and massively populated cities such as Santiago, Buenos Aires, and Mexico City, cities in which tens of millions reside. God is calling a few brethren, scattered as salt across the world, to make up the bride of Christ, to be kings and priests working under our Lord and Savior, to transform this current evil world into tomorrow's world of peace, prosperity, and universal love. What a wonderful time it will be when we, as spirit beings, will be able to communicate in a language we all know and understand, and share eternity with God the Father, Jesus Christ, and with one another.
Felices fiestas de Tabernáculos y último gran día.
Felices fiestas de Tabernáculos y último gran día.
Felices fiestas de Tabernáculos y último gran día.
Felices fiestas de los Tabernáculos.
¡Feliz fiesta!
¡Feliz fiesta de los Tabernáculos y último gran día 2024!
¡Feliz fiesta de Tabernáculos y último gran día!
¡Feliz fiesta!
¡Feliz fiesta de los Tabernáculos y último gran día 2024!
¡Felices fiestas de Tabernáculos y último gran día 2024!
¡Feliz fiesta de Tabernáculos!
¡Feliz fiesta de los Tabernáculos y el último y gran día!
¡Feliz fiestas de Tabernáculos y último gran día!
¡Feliz fiesta de Tabernáculos!